Ezekiel chapter 36. Last week we had seen the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ after they had seen him crucified. All hope was gone. They weren't only discouraged and depressed, but they were defeated. The resurrection hadn't happened. Now the day of the resurrection, some of the disciples, they were here, there, and everywhere. Two of them were going to Bethany. And you know the story. Of course, Christ met them on the road to Bethany. They didn't recognize him at first. So they broke that bread, and there in the inn that they stayed. And then he left them. But between the time that he met them there on the road, and when they had a meal with him there at the inn, he opened the scriptures and showed them that all these things had happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were supposed to happen. God had ordained that. Really, before the foundations of the world, he was designated the Lamb of God. That he would not only be crucified as a criminal, shameful death, but he would also rise again. Of course, running back, because their hearts were burning. They were impassioned now, with a living hope. They were excited. They wanted to tell others, he's risen! He's risen indeed! And when they met the disciples there in Jerusalem, said, yes, we know! We heard the same thing! And he appeared to Peter. He appeared to others. And in that gathering, in the upper room, the Lord appeared to them all. And again, he opened the scriptures to them. And their hearts were burning with renewed passion and love and a desire to know him better, to walk with him closer, but also to make him known to others. If you take out your outline also this morning, part of the work of the Lord and the Holy Spirit and God the Father is the Word of God in the hearts of every believer, and those who are yet to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, is directly related to the promise of the new covenant. Now some would have us to believe that the new covenant there in the Old Testament in Ezekiel chapter 36 was just for Israel, just for the Jews. But that's not true. This new covenant the Lord is talking about to Ezekiel is for all who believe in Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. But I want to take your attention, if you will, to Ezekiel chapter 36, in verses 26 through 27. The Lord talks about bringing cleansing into their lives, but in verse 26, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit, I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. That was a new covenant. Now Israel had a number of covenants that God had reiterated to them many times. Like if you will, the Abrahamic covenant, promising them the promised land, promising them, if you will, his relationship with them. You had the Mosaic covenant, too, the covenant of law. You had the Davidic covenant, too, that God made with David, that there would be a seed in his genealogy, if you will, in his family that would sit on that throne forever and ever. The Messiah, the Lion of Judah, who later became indeed the very Lamb of God who died for your sins and my sins. That's Jesus Christ. So Israel, as a nation, as a people of God, knew many promises and covenants of God. But this new covenant that God said he would set with them, he would give them a new heart, a new spirit. He would put his spirit within them. And there would be, by a work of his spirit within them, and a new heart, a new spirit within them, that desire and delight to do his will, to obey him. Something Israel didn't have before. But that new covenant, as you see in your outline before, came about in the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Take a look at your outline. We have a number of verses there. It's also there in Jeremiah 24. As it was initially promised to God's people Israel. But then take a look at Luke chapter 22, verse 20. Every time you and I celebrate communion, we're reminded that you and I are participating in that new covenant. Take a look at Luke 22 there in your outline. And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, and Jesus is speaking of that communion, that first communion, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Then again, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians, who has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills and the Spirit gives life. Excuse me. Then again, Hebrews 8:6. But as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is much more excellent than the old, as the covenant he mediates is better, since it is enacted on better promises. And again, in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15, therefore he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. But the writer of Hebrews and what Paul is saying there in Corinthians and what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, that new covenant that God had promised his people Israel, that they were definitely looking forward to because it was directly related to the Messiah. So they knew that when the Messiah comes, he will not only set up his rule and reign in Jerusalem, as if he will, the seed of David, but he would also inaugurate. He would bring in that new covenant with all of its promises, with all of God's glory, with all of that work of grace in their lives. Sorry. I have one right now. Thank you very much. Okay. I'll tell you, I have brothers and sisters in Christ that really want the best for me. Thank you, Larry. I'll see you there for later. So all of those promises in the new covenant. Israel was waiting for the Messiah, but they knew the coming of the Messiah would usher in this new covenant that God revealed to Ezekiel, to Jeremiah, also to Isaiah. And it came because he came. And it was inaugurated because he died and rose again. And it was fulfilled in the lives of every man, woman, and boy and girl who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just for Israel alone, but every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why the Lord said that communion, when you and I take that cup, this is the cup of the new covenant, not the old covenant. This is exactly what the writer of Hebrews said. The old covenant, the covenant of law, could never save. It only convicts. But the new covenant is a covenant of salvation. And in order to have that burning heart that the disciples had, after the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that impassioned desire in their heart to tell others about Jesus Christ, yes, their family members, like yours and mine, to tell their friends, like yours and mine too, that he lives, that he does save, that he does forgive sin, that he does change lives, that he is the author and he is the initiator of that new covenant to bring in into the life of every man, woman, and boy and girl who put their faith in Jesus Christ, that new heart. And as Ezekiel, with the inspiration of the Word of God through the Holy Spirit, he said, I'll take that heart of stone out. And I'll put in a heart of flesh. A stony heart is one that doesn't respond to the love and grace and mercy of God. A stony heart is a dead heart, dead in sin, dead in transgressions, but a living, living, active, loving heart for God. That's what he wants to do. He says, not only will I put a new heart, but I'll give you a new spirit. Let's take a look, if you will, some of the implications of that for believers today. New life in Christ begins with a new heart and a new spirit within us. Do you have that new heart? I pray you do. If you do, you know it. You really do. You have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. You know it. You're not in doubt. You know that you know that you know him. And you know that you are a part of that, if you will, that new covenant. Take a look, if you will, the outline before it. The new life in Christ begins with a new heart and a new spirit within us. And he says there in Ezekiel, he says to men and women today, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I put within you. And I will remove that heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Why? Because we all need that new heart. Every one of us. Every one of us. We are spiritually dead in our sins, condemned and separated from God. Take a look, if you will, at the Ephesians. You were dead in the trespasses forgiven. You are dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. We need that new heart, because of all that. You see, how are your parts? Many have parts that are evil and wicked. Many have parts that are greedy. Many have parts that are bitter. Many have parts that just complain, complain, complain. Many have parts that are so hardened to the things of God. Many have the full of hearts that are close to the work of God, to the very word of God. And that's why we need new hearts. And that's exactly what God does. He doesn't leave us where we're at, but he meets us where we're at to change us into what he wants us to be, with a new heart, a new spirit, and the indwelling presence of his Holy Spirit. Take a look, if you will, in your outline. We need a new life, a new start, a new heart, a new relationship with God. We need all of this, and God will provide all of that, and does, through his Son, Jesus Christ. Take a look at Ephesians there, in the verse before you. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us to get alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. God does this by his grace through our faith in Christ alone. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. We were buried together with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. What God has said in those verses, I believe there are many men and women and boys and girls that are believing God for exactly what he said. But that's where they stop. That's where they stop. And you see, this series on being in Christ and Christ in us, they say, don't stop there. Don't stop there just with God bringing into your life, your being, a new heart, a new spirit. Remember, he also brings his spirit into your life, into my life, into the life of every man, woman, and child that receives Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And what follows is so important if you and I are really going to live for Christ. Not just as an individual, but as a family. As a family of God today. In a growing culture around us that wants to completely obliterate the message of Christ. In a land that wants to take away the freedom for you to speak of Jesus Christ. In a culture that has already taken Bible reading out of schools, prayer out of schools. In a society that says, we don't want to hear this. But the reality is, we all need to hear it. We all need to hear about Jesus Christ. He is the solution to not just moral problems, but spiritual problems. He is the solution to broken households, to make them whole again. He is the solution, the answer to broken marriages. He is the answer and the solution to lives that are so shattered, he can make them whole. That's why in your outline we have these bold letters. Don't stop there. Let's see what else comes in the new covenant that you and I possess right now today in Jesus Christ. So that your life and my life, together as a church family, we can be aflame, impassioned, emboldened for Jesus Christ. You and I are praying for this mountain. Are you not? And we're also praying for the surrounding communities, not just your South Mountain, but the area around it. We're also praying for the boys and girls that we're trying to reach this summer for Jesus Christ. You know, there are elements in our culture that you want that. There are campgrounds right now this summer that are going to be opening up. And we support one of them. In fact, we need to support a number of them. Joelle and also the Good News Camp. Good News Camp. A camp teacher. There is definitely elements in both in Waynesboro and Chambersburg and throughout the communities that want to close those camps. Believe it. That's true. There are elements here on South Mountain and Waynesboro and Chambersburg and the surrounding communities that do not want release time to go on. Release time is when boys and girls come out of school for 1 hour a week and they hear about the Lord Jesus. Praise God, that it's still going on. We have seen together as a church and other churches too, seen God working miracles and providing so that the release times can continue on, so the five-day clubs can continue on. Why? Because of the new covenant in Jesus Christ. It's just as real and vital for them to know and experience as it is for you and I. But don't stop there. Don't stop there. There's so much more that you and I can have in Jesus Christ and live in the reality of Christ in our marriages, in our families, and in God's church family. Would you join with me as we continue? Let me tell you today that there are many who profess faith in Jesus Christ, and they think that that's all there is. Some live with a sense of false security. But I'm saying, because you know, years ago, here at South Mountain Bible Church, or wherever, and maybe at Camp Cheer, maybe at Joyelle, I received Jesus Christ into my life as my Lord and Savior. But they never lived for Christ afterwards. Have you been there? I have. That was part of my life story. Oh, not here, but in New Jersey. Maybe that's your story right now. That's why this message about a burning heart, compassion, emboldened for Jesus Christ is so important for you today. Because maybe you just stop there and say, I'm saved and I hope I'm going to get to heaven, but I'm not really sure. Or maybe you have that false sense of security and say, well, yes, I received Christ many years ago, and I was even baptized, and I was even going to church, but I stopped. Many have only tasted, they never partaken of all that Christ wants to give. Take a look at your outline. The next part, if you will, if you're willing not to stop at that first part, just being saved, just being, if you will, that one who received Christ Jesus into your life, but not moving ahead, if you will, with Christ, the new life of Christ and the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk, the Lord says. And Paul writes these words, for do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. For you were bought with the price, so glorify God in your body. Christian 101, lesson 1, is that in receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit within us. That's part of that new covenant. That's part of the promise of God. That's part of the new life, being born again into the family of God. And there's so much more. But don't stop there. Don't stop there. Paul didn't stop there. He says, I'm pressing on, forgetting those things in behind. I'm pressing on to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. None of us can live this new life in our own power and strength and wisdom. Take a look at John 14 here, outlined before you. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Come with the presence of the Holy Spirit. That aspect of the new covenant that Jesus Christ has ratified in his blood, the sacrifice on the cross, and his resurrection, and brings the reality of that new covenant into the life of every born-again believer in Jesus Christ. It's not just that my sins are forgiven, and I'm not going to hell, and I hope I'm going to heaven. It's so much more than that. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Take a look at that verse. One of the key verses when Paul is talking about the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer and the life of the church. And the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. You talk about freedom, and today, this weekend, we remember the freedom that we have here as a nation. But there's a greater freedom that you and I can have as we do this. A greater freedom. Unhindered. Unshackled. Unbound. Not just to know Jesus, but to live. To walk. To experience that inner work and inner witness of the Holy Spirit in your life. And the life of Christ Church right there. Southern God. The indwelling Holy Spirit transforms a believer into Christ's likeness. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Not only does the Holy Spirit transform the believer into Christ's likeness, but the values and virtues of Christ with that new heart and new spirit. But the new life in Christ has a desire and the ability to obey and serve Him. God says in that new covenant that He promised, and called you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Paul says in Philippians, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Let me just, I realize some of you have minds of the picnic that's coming. Reunions. But let me just share, just in closing. The new covenant is a solemn promise from God Himself. God makes that promise, that covenant with you through Jesus Christ. And along with that fulfillment of His promise in your life, in my life, the life of His church, our church family, He says, I will put my Spirit within your life. I will put my Holy Spirit within you. So that you will have both the desire and the ability to walk. It's not because He holds the wall over our heads. No. That was the old covenant. That was the covenant of law. And all the law was meant to be was to show that we're sinners. All that the law of Moses was to do was to direct us to the Savior, Jesus Christ, so that you and I could be participants. You and I could share in a new covenant, knowing in person the witness of the Holy Spirit making known to you all that Christ wants to be in your life. There is something that Christ wants to do through every one of us, I believe. It's not about making us happy. But as you heard a couple of weeks ago, it's about making us whole. It's about giving us a new life that is being transformed daily. That daily work of God's grace through His Spirit to transform us has got to spill over the lives of our loved ones and friends. Not because we're just happy in Jesus, but because we're pursuing Him. We're pursuing godliness. We have a desire to walk with Him. And when you're walking with someone who you're really close to and you love, you really want to introduce that person that you love. So, you see, Christ is going to transform the lives of His disciples. That their hearts were so burning, so flaming, so impassioned, that no one could shut them up. No one can silence them. Oh, they try. But if you read the book of Acts, we'll be studying the book of Acts in a couple of months, but if you read the book of Acts, believers share Christ with others because of the book of Acts. Those who heard the gospel believe. They want to live for Christ and serve Him and also share Him with you and I, beloved, have a great opportunity. You have an insert in your bulletin called Reaching Kids for Christ. Would you participate together with us because you're a participant in the new covenant? I'm praying that every one of us will get on board with Jesus Christ and reach for His kids for Him. We have at least four. There will be other activities too and other events this summer. Will you participate? If you're a part of the new covenant, you're going to participate because the Holy Spirit is putting that within your heart to do that. And there are many ways to participate. It's not just coming to church, folks. It's not just putting your offering in the plate. It's not just. It certainly includes all of that, but it's so much more. Please don't let us stop at that first point in the outline this morning. Let us press on for what Christ fully has for us. Let us reach these unsaved kids. When you think of all the things that face them, the adversities of life, the wickedness of life, the evilness of life, we listed some of them. And I personally know that Jesus Christ is the answer and the solution to those issues. Would you stand with me and pray? Father, we're asking in Jesus' name for that mighty working of your Holy Spirit within our lives, manifesting Christ in us and through us, individually and as a church family. Father, in Jesus' name, we're asking for the precious souls upon this mountain, the surrounding communities. And we think right now this morning of the children, of the teenagers, of the young people. Father, in Jesus' name, we're asking that you would so mobilize us, empower us with your Holy Spirit, that we would reach out to kids for Christ. Lord, we thank you for these opportunities, the Bible baseball, the 5-day club, the vacation Bible school, the camp ministries. We thank you for all the special events that, Lord, we will be having this summer. Lord, we pray that it won't just be events, but indeed it will be all of us together, in the love of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, reaching the lost. And Father, we do not just pray for the children, the young people. We pray for our own loved ones, many that are lost without Christ. We pray for our neighbors. Many are lost without Christ. Father, we pray. Father, we pray in Jesus' name that you would so set our hearts aflame, ablaze for Jesus. Embolden us, inflame us with a passion, a holy passion, to live for you, Lord Jesus, and to make you known to others. We ask this, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.